Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
It's showtime. Because I said so. Second to last weekly review episode here on Fantasy NBA Today. I gotta say, folks, I feel a little tired today. You never know when that's gonna kind of catch up with you. It was today for me. How many freaking days? You know, I know we had the All-Star break in there, but effectively, season started, what, October 20-something this year? I don't remember this crap. 24th, October 24th, November, December, January, February, March. We're about 5.5 months, a little less, 5 months, 10 days, roughly, 11 days. 160-ish actual calendar days. And finally, today is when I looked up and I started to get ready for the podcast this morning about an hour ago. And I thought, oh, whew, I am feeling it. Which I realize is kind of stupid when I say it out loud because I'm a fantasy sports analyst. So what am I actually feeling? But it's an emotional letdown. It's, you know, we got today, tomorrow, Sunday, and then one more week. So we really are now. We're 10 days, 10 game days from the end of the NBA season. Basically, everybody's done on the head-to-head side already. And if you're not, you're done on Sunday. You know, one out of every 20 leagues probably goes the final week on the head-to-head side. Roto, you're scratching at specialists, basically, at this point. There's almost no reason. And so, obviously, you got to keep up with your games cap, so you're going to play your best guys because they're good in a bunch of stuff. But outside of that, you're going full specialist mode. You're hunting for some categories to try to gain a point here, a point there, wherever you can kind of chisel something off, get a Roto point. It's really hard, especially today, because, like, yesterday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in particular, I can look at the card and I go, all right, look, we're just going to talk about what happened yesterday. We're going to break down the news for today. I got to this morning and I was like, holy crap, weekly review show? How on God's green earth are we going to put this thing together? But I think I did it. I think it's decent. I'm hoping that what I'm about to say to you all, which, again, is a little bit more on kind of the, like, emotional side of this. Not, like, feeling emotional, but just, like, how do you push forward? This is a fantasy discussion. I get yelled at sometimes for taking an intro that veers off course, but I actually think this is a really important thing. So that's the background to why I'm doing this little show opening rant, and maybe I should have gone rant first and background second, but whatever. This is where we're at, so you're with me now. I don't know if you guys remember, if you guys have been listening to or watching this program for a couple of years. We've been in existence for, I think this pod's been around for about seven, this is our seventh season, I think, doing the show every day. Not the year that was ended early by COVID, but the following year, the COVID, like, intentionally shortened season that began in December. Yeah. And then so you had this, and the following one, actually, the two seasons after that, you had all the COVID absences. By the way, look how few there were this season. Kind of a cool, and we'll look back on that when the year's over, but did we have anybody out due to COVID this year? One, maybe? I don't even remember. I think it might have been zero. Not that it's not floating around out there, but it's pretty much just getting passed around at schools these days. So the reason I bring that up is not because I want us all thinking about what a lovely time it was when we were dealing with COVID absences all the time. But what I want you guys to remember is the Omicron surge, whatever winter that was, last year, year before, I can't even remember. But I had a lot of people coming to me in the comment section on podcasts or more specifically on social media, because that's like the easiest place to just send a quick note and saying, Dan, I hate fantasy sports right now. I'm like, I'm dying. I can't do this. I just don't. So right in this moment, it's not the same. It's not even close to the same. But right in this moment, a lot of us have that same kind of pit in our stomachs, which is like, how do I grind out this last little bit? Now, if you're head-to-head, it's easier because you probably have some chunk of change on the line that's going to come down to a move you make over the next couple of days. Roto, I think it's a little bit harder. If there's any other format that you might be engaged in, I think that's also probably tougher as well. What I would say is just kind of a pep talk right now. Dig deep. Find a way to channel whatever you have left. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm so close to the end. Let's just get there. But I want us to look at it from the total flip side of that and say, we've conquered this much. Now is not the time to let go of the rope. Hold on to the rope just a little bit longer, because the other teams you're playing against are having the same emotional feelings right now, which is like, do I really? Come on, I could just wing it for a couple of days and just hit the set lineup button. It'll be fine. No, don't you just hit that set lineup button. Take the extra couple of minutes today, tomorrow, Sunday, next week, whatever it is, and stay locked in. Stay piped in on everything that's going on the fantasy side. Make those decisions that are just a little bit better than what your opponent's doing that's mailing it in a little bit, and it'll pay off. I promise you. So stick with it. I promise to do the same. Let's review what happened over this last week. It is week 24. I know it's period 23. I don't care what period Yahoo and ESPN and whoever else calls it. This is the 24th week of basketball this season. Count them up, people. Count them up. We're going to check out what happened over the last week. Basically, more or less, it'll be the midweek, not as much last weekend. We're going to focus on players independent of their current schedules. This podcast, I say again, will not focus on schedule. That will be up to you guys to dig into, and we'll have our second show early this afternoon where we talk about schedules as well. Independent of schedule. This is looking for players that can provide you great fantasy numbers on whatever term basis you make sense for your ball club. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Vesperis. Follow Sports Ethos on Twitter at Ethos Fantasy BK. That'll be changing to Ethos Fantasy NBA once we hit the offseason, by the way. And please, for goodness sake, like, rate, subscribe. I have not bugged you about subscribing and rating nearly as much as I should this year. Please, please, please do those if you guys are hanging out for the first time, the second time, the 10th time, whatever, and you haven't done it. I want to make sure you guys are connected to us throughout the offseason and then rolling into next year as well. We're starting with the injury replacements, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I flipped the order of how we cover things on our Friday shows. I think it's actually really important that I do these injury names first, because a lot of you were like, hey, where's player whatever? Where's Amen Thompson? Why wasn't he ever on your ads board? Obviously, he's an ad, but the reason he's an ad is because Alperen Şengün went down for the year. I mean, we're talking 3 weeks ago now, but this is just an example of somebody actually multiple times this happened, not about the same player, but always someone's like, Dan, why isn't so-and-so on your ads board? And I'm like, well, they're on the injury replacement board, and they will stay there basically indefinitely, until we get some sort of confirmation that they would be good enough even if a team was healthy. And even if someone's out for the year, I've just notated that on the board here. If someone is an injury replacement for the season, great. That means we won't get the data we need on whether or not they're just a traditional ad until next year. So, that in mind, a couple of repeat names on the board here. Amen Thompson, Naz Reid, Slow-Mo, Josh Hart, Vasilije Micić. Those guys were all injury replacements and have been for at least 1 week. Some of them 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. I'm not taking them off. Keon Ellis was on this board before. I think over the last week we did get word that Kevin Huerter is out for the year. We kind of thought it was going to be the case, but now we know for sure. And I got a lot of like, why are you so excited about Keon Ellis? And I'm hoping that the last couple of ball games with Malik Monk out as well has answered the question of why I like Keon Ellis. And the answer is basically his defensive stats are the massive upside. But the fact that he's now pretty much guaranteed 30 minutes a night is where you just get enough of the other stuff. So over the last week, he's right around the edge of the top 100. And that's despite shooting just 39% from the field. Still only taking 6 shots a game over that stretch, but you're at 6 rebounds, 1.8 steals, 2 three-pointers, over 2 assists. Again, if he shoots in the mid-40s over that, his scoring goes from 9 to 10, field goal percent becomes a smaller negative, he jumps inside the top 75. If he blocks one shot, all these little things that, like, this is almost a worst case over the last week. So that's why I like Keon Ellis. I think he's got a lot of good stuff in the tank. Deuce McBride, Miles McBride, that's a pretty easy one because he pretty much plays 48 minutes every ball game, even if his last game wasn't all that great. Overall, he's been extraordinarily useful. I'm going to leave Kelly Oubre on this thing. He's replacing De'Anthony Melton, even though both Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid are back. Oubre... And I guess we could, you know what, I'm gonna update this in real time. It's Melton and it's Tobias. I'm gonna just write the name Tobias. Everybody knows I mean Harris, right? That left enough shots out there. Question, of course, remains that when Harris comes back, are there enough shots for Oubre? He's gonna be a lot more open now, but we need enough field goal attempts. So injury replacement now for a couple of guys. Will it stick when Tobias Harris comes back? Not entirely clear. But it's good for right now. Throwing Al Horford on this list. He's been on there all season long because anytime a Boston starter is out, you want to drop Al Horford in. And it seems like I think we've already had Derek White ruled out for tonight, correct? Yep, 10 minutes ago. Jaylen Brown also out. So you're going to get Horford and you're probably going to get somebody else. Maybe I should be adding another name to the board. We'll find out who the other starter is going to be, if it's going to be Pritchard or Sam Hauser. I think it's probably going to be Hauser, but we'll see. I'm also going to take Malik Beasley off of this board because as we're talking, Damian Lillard just got ruled back in after missing the last 3 ball games. So that news happened like 10 seconds ago. Pat Connaughton had also been, like, kind of decent over that stretch. Malik Beasley was merely okay. So this one's a pretty easy one. Now with Dame back, you're going Dame, you're going Brook Lopez, you're going Giannis, and you're going Middleton for the Bucks. And then Portis is kind of more of a, like, points and rebounds stream, but probably not a guy that sits inside the top 100. Let's move back up the board here, make sure that I did that one out of order, and now I gotta get back into read mode. Grant Williams is the next name here. He's the fill-in for Nick Richards, who was already a fill-in for Mark Williams. I do love myself a nesting doll. I think that needs to become a term. My attempt to make a pre-tank a term didn't really land, but this one I feel like we could really do if we did it together. It's a fantasy nesting doll. Meaning, oh, you can't start Mark Williams? Bop, pop the nesting doll open. Who's in there? Hey, it's Nick Richards. Oh, you can't do Nick Richards? Pop the nesting doll open. Who's inside there? It's Grant Williams. What happens if he goes down? I don't know. There might not be another doll inside there. Grant Williams is putting up really nice numbers as the starting center for the Hornets. So, again, provided Nick Richards remains out, Grant is a lovely play. Shemezi Metu in Detroit. I really like the numbers he's been putting up lately. Kind of a nice little across the board. Not a ton of points, but some kind of league average number of rebounds of late. Just slightly sub-league average in assists. Very good steals. Decent blocks. Good percentages. I could see the field goal percent maybe even climbing a tiny bit higher, depending on how things go here. But he's very much been a startable fantasy play over the last few ball games. I finally had the stones to say, you know what, go ahead and play the dude. whatever it was, one, two games back, and it's been good so far. You know, he's top 75 over the last week, top 100 over the last 2 weeks on 10-5. Big defensive stats. He's at 3.3 defensive stats, but he's shooting only 43%, which, again, not taking three-pointers, so you figure that's a number that could maybe creep up a little bit. I like the across-the-board stuff you're getting right now. There's intrigue there for me, and if anybody else takes time, not that the Pistons need more guys to be shut down for this to be fantasy relevant, but hey, you never know. Delano Banton in Portland with everybody out. I put the name in parentheses as just all. The whole damn team is down except for DeAndre Ayton, which means there's just a boatload of shots left. So Banton, his usage has been high enough to overcome the bad Nine Cat stuff. You'll see some other Portland Trailblazer names, or we'll talk about them, depending on if you're watching or listening, on other parts of this Friday show. But Banton right now is the one that, to me, makes the injury replacement list. The other ones are going to be more, I think they fall onto the watch board, if I'm remembering right, but we'll get there in a little bit. Josh Giddey and Lu Dort, those guys are plays while Shea and Jalen Williams are out. They're not great plays, but they're playable. Far from my favorites on this board. Corey Kispert, seems like Kyle Kuzma may finally be pulling the plug, but at the very best case scenario, it seems like Kuz is playing in every other game, meaning you can get in every other game out of Corey Kispert, where the in-between ones are kind of meh, like top 175, 150, around 75 range, and then when Kuzma's down, it's more like, you know, top 80 sort of stuff. So yeah, if you play them all together, it wouldn't be very good on the roto side. Games cap, you play Kispert on days when Kuzma's out. Head-to-head, if you wanted to play Kispert the whole way through, you'd probably get enough on better scheduling parts. And yeah, that's about where you can leave that. And then the latest addition to the board, Jalen Smith with Miles Turner out. Miles is questionable, so there's a chance he might be back, meaning that, you know, by the end of today, we might have to adjust this thing. But that's the injury replacement board for now. Couple of names on the ads board. I put Banton in there just because I feel like, I don't know, I remember why I did it. I was writing this up and I was like, you know, I'm gonna put Banton on this board as well, just so people know that I don't think there's gonna be somebody that comes back this year. That was why I did it. So because the player that was out that made Banton relevant was the word all, because the entire Blazers team is out, I don't think any of those guys is returning for Portland. And even if some one of them does, I don't think that it's going to knock Banton off. So I wanted to put him on the ads board in addition to the injury replacement board, just to kind of stress the idea that if some guy comes back, if Jeremy Grant magically goes from doubtful back to playing one game the rest of the way, I think you probably still get enough out of Banton. And so this was my way of trying to do it. For anybody that's reading the list on Twitter and not listening to the podcast, it might be like, well, why is Banton in both places? Well, the takeaway there, I hope, is that, oh, Dan likes him enough to say here he is as well. I don't know if Luke Kennard's going to play in every game. Probably not. But if he's starting, I'm playing him. And he had one bad ball game in there, but by and large, he's been pretty good as a starter. He's basically the point guard for the Grizzlies right now, and he's a point guard that can shoot the crap out of a three-pointer. So I'm good with that. Malachi Flynn, I had to put on the ads board because the kid just went for 50 off the bench, but he's also going to probably poo his pants in the next ball game. I would be flabbergasted if Flynn is inside the top 80 the rest of the way. That would absolutely blow my mind, because he has massive efficiency issues that we didn't get to see in the last ballgame because he made all of his field goals, but he's not a good free throw shooter for a guard. He's not a good field goal percent guy for a guard. He did have one absolutely colossal ballgame. He makes more sense in points leagues. Actually, so does Banton, frankly. But Flynn makes more sense in points leagues with Cade Cunningham out for we don't know exactly how many ballgames. Detroit has a back-to-back here, so do we see Cade in any of those? He skipped a game that wasn't a back-to-back last time out, so that's also notable, talking about Cunningham there. For Flynn, you know, I think he's a guy where you're like, look, there's probably going to be enough usage for him when Cade sits, so it's worth a flyer, but you might also get a game that's like 14 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, and you're thinking, oh, great, I'm in excellent shape. But he might do it on, you know, 3 out of 14 shooting. I'm doing 14s a lot in this one. 3 out of 14 shooting from the field and like 2 for 3 at the free throw line. And then overall, that's actually not helpful. So points leagues, yes, unquestionably for Flynn when Cade sits. And maybe Malachi should have been on the injury replacement board too. I don't know. It's a fine line here. But for Roto, for 9-cat, whatever, I think you want to be a little bit cautious. And I get it, head-to-head, they have a back-to-back, so that makes that call a little bit easier. And then Brandon Clark, who's sitting out one of the back-to-backs, as we knew he would. That's why, in parentheses, I wrote games cap. Brandon Clark is a games cap add, because you're going to get some points, some rebounds, some defensive stats, good field goal percent, as he's continuing to kind of slowly ramp up here. And JJJ basically, might be done for the year. We'll see. But certainly done for at least one ball game on their back-to-back, and that's an opportunity for Clark to maybe collect another 2 or 3 minutes as he continues to get his legs back. I just, like, he's had a good 9-cat game since the second he entered the NBA. The issue has always been whether or not the Grizzlies would give him enough playing time. And at this point, I don't see a universe where he gets less than 20 minutes unless it's injury-related. Strong holds. This is the easiest board of any of them on this show because all I got to do is say the name and you're going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. Denny Avdija, crushing it. Kelly Olynyk, when he's playing, crushing it. TJ McConnell, very consistent. He's had a dearth of steals in his last couple of ball games. You know those are going to come rolling back around for him. Trayce Jackson-Davis, playing very well. Rui Hachimura, playing really well right now. Not an injury replacement for the moment. If the field goal percent dries up, that's when he moves back into a drop valuation. Jalen Suggs, one bad game here and there, but overall pretty damn good. Max Strus playing really well since he came back from injury. And Isaiah Hartenstein, who's a very obvious one. Because Mitchell Robinson's being brought along really slowly. Julius Randle got ruled out for the season yesterday. So, you know, the competition for minutes at that center spot is not too stiff right now. But now we go to the soft holds page, and this one I think the guys need maybe a little bit more explanation. Jonas Valanciunas, who's been on the soft hold board for about 3 weeks in a row, and every week it's like, well, what if this happens? The funny thing is, in between these Friday shows, for those that listen every day, you've heard JV bounce back and forth between droppable and soft holdable. Folks that only watch the Friday shows are like, oh, Danny always has Jonas Valanciunas on the soft holds list. And I hate that I have to do this little preface, but I do. I don't have Valanciunas on my teams. I didn't want to draft him. I thought this was going to be his job from the beginning of the year. And for the first 3 months, I was very wrong. And I felt kind of dumb about it. But now, the handicap that I had on Valanciunas finally has taken shape here the last 2 months, basically, of the season. And so I'm able to point and go, all right, well, you know, at least I don't have him, so I don't have to worry about this. But in my best empathy here, trying to put myself in your shoes to say, okay, well, what would I do if I was sitting on JV? And right at this moment, this very narrow cross-section of time, I would say, hold on. And the reason I would say hold on is because Zion hurt his finger in the Pelicans' last ball game, and we don't yet know if he's playing. I haven't seen anything to make me think he's not, but we also haven't gotten any sort of definitive yes. At the moment, we're going to treat Zion like he's questionable. And so if he sits out a ball game, sure, they could go to Najee Marshall. Although Larry Nance, by the way, also got a little dinged up in their last ball game, so he might be out as well. And if all of that takes shape, frankly, even if it's only Nance, it'll be hard for them to go under 20 minutes on JV. It can happen. But if Nance and Zion are both out, I would then think it's basically impossible for the Pels to go sub 20 minutes on Valanciunas. And if you get him up to 22, 23, 24, then he's fantasy playable. So that's why it's a soft hold. I don't want Schroeder on this one. I'm removing Dennis Schroeder from this list. Sorry, those on Twitter are not going to get this update, but you know what? It is what it is. That's why you should watch the damn podcast. Trey Mann is the other one, is another one in the very soft holds department. I don't know. He's not that good. And we talked about this way back at the trade deadline when he got moved, and then he had like two or three really big ball games. And I was like, okay, this is two things wrapped up into one. He's an add, but he's also a sell high. We talked about Keontae George in the same breath for multiple shows that was like, oh, these guys are hot right now, but that ain't going to stick forever. And Trey Mann was getting like 9 rebounds a game. And I was like, guys, this dude's like 6'4", 195 pounds soaking wet. He ain't getting 9 rebounds a game after the rigors of an NBA season start to knock him. And now you're seeing it. It's not rocket science, people. He's a very soft hold because he can do a little bit of everything, but he's also probably not going to be a 9-cat guy, so... Jonathan Isaac is a soft hold only in games cap roto leagues because, again, when he plays 20 minutes, he's really good. And a lot of the time he is these days, but not every time. And that's this moment where you're like, can you trust this guy against the games cap or grumble, grumble? The answer is probably yes. If you need some threes, rebounds, defensive stats. If you don't need those things, meh. Now, he's good enough at those where the math basically says you could start him anywhere. But it is a little bit specialist-y. Gary Trent Jr. in and out of the lineup for Toronto makes him a very difficult hold on the head-to-head side. But I think you have to at least hold to see if he's playing later on today, right? Aren't they going a little bit later today? Yeah, they're in Milwaukee. For Roto, you're hanging on because when he plays, he's going to be one of the better options out there. And then Andrew Wiggins, who would have been a stronghold but turned an ankle last night, and so his season from hell continues. He'd been playing really well, but I think you got to at least hold to see how he responds to that. The nervous, scared, and drop contingent is 5 names long today. A couple of them are repeats. One of them in particular that makes me feel very sad, all the way to my sad little heart, is Chris Paul. He's been bad for the last 2 weeks. Brutal timing for my 30 deep finals against the great Dr. A when I really needed to have a shot at assists, and without Chris Paul getting assists, I ain't got a shot at him. So, womp womp, Chris Paul is a drop. And even if he gets good again, we're talking about 10 damn days. That's the nice thing about right now. You can be extra aggressive. Keontae George is a drop. He's been horrible lately. Literally losing weeks for teams. DeAndre Hunter is more of an I'm very scared play. You could probably hang on if you need some points and a couple of rebounds on an okay field goal percent, but if you don't need those, and I don't think the math is going to suggest that he should stay, and frankly, we probably could put Trey Mann in here as well as guys that are a little bit more, you know, doesn't matter range that were maybe a little higher than that before, and that's what Hunter is. He was a little bit higher than that when Jalen Johnson was out. JJ's back, and now Hunter is probably dropping back into that like 115 to 150 range, and that's more a specialist range. GG Jackson. Ooh, boy, has the efficiency been rough. Specialist also, just in points. He's a points specialist. Maybe a little free throw, maybe a little three-pointer. And then Dennis Schroeder, more of an assist specialist. You've seen some pretty bad games from him mixed in with like one kind of okay one. Yuck. You guys know I don't like Dennis Schroeder very much. For fantasy. Sorry, I got to clarify that. For fantasy. And finally, an extensive watch list right now, which shouldn't surprise you given that we are in the throes of silly season. So there's just an absolute truckload of names that are teetering right on the brink of maybe relevant fantasy value. And I want this to basically have these guys kind of at the top of the list of, okay, make sure when you're checking box score, especially over the weekend where maybe you can't be quite as piped in, go and check to see what these guys did before you pour through every damn name on the board. And these names are Dylan Brooks. The hell with Dylan Brooks. Don't even worry about him. Mitchell Robinson, should his minutes start to ramp up in New York. Jordan Goodwin, who I think has played 3 games in a row now for Memphis. I don't know off the top of my head. I've lost track of how many eligibility days he has left. But if they're going to start to play him nightly, he'd be a really, really interesting rebounds, assists, steals, blocks stream out of a guard spot. Keep an eye on Haywood Highsmith. Miami's playing for something right now, so I doubt that that one sticks, but Duncan Robinson got himself hurt again in the last ball game. Trendon Watford is a watch list guy in Brooklyn in case someone else goes down. Jabari Walker had a huge ball game last time around, but we've seen enough of him to know that it's really just points and rebounds, and so unless he goes colossal on those categories like he did in his last ball game, it's going to be pretty damn hard for him to hold 9-cat value. And same story for Scoot Henderson, who's going to get you some assists and some points, but he's also going to point the blowtorch right down at his own feet and set himself on fire in lack of steals, lack of blocks, horrible percentages, and very high turnovers. So, points league much? Jared Butler, not to be confused with Jimmy, Jared Butler in Washington has a really interesting point guard style fantasy game, but we're very much a backcourt absence away from unlocking it, meaning we're close, and with Kuzma out, it's closer, but I really do think that Jordan Poole needs to take the last week off if we want maximum Jared Butler. Jordan Nwora in Toronto, this one feels maybe more like an injury replacement guy when a bunch of guys are taking rest days. So like last ball game, there was no Gary Trent, no Kelly Olynyk, no RJ Barrett, and Nwora had a nice ball game. Emmanuel quickly played, but now it sounds like Olynyk and Barrett will definitely be back for the Raptors' next game. I don't know the status of Trent yet, but if all those guys are in, then it's hard to see Nwora having enough stuff to do off the bench. For Utah, who's gone now from mostly tank to maximum tank, Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh have to at least be on our radars. I don't know that either one of them has that great of a fantasy game yet, but we might be looking at a situation where it's like Colin Sexton, Keyonte George are each taking 18 shots, and then there's just like 55 or 60 shots up for grabs among a who's who of who. And so then you figure Hendricks will get 10 or 11 and Sensabaugh will take 13 or 14 or something like that. And that might frankly just be enough usage for these guys, even if they're not putting up outstanding per minute numbers. It just, like, you might just be out there long enough to have value. So keep an eye on those dudes. Utah plays tonight in L.A. They've got the Clippers in L.A. I don't expect the Clippers to take this game all that seriously after they just beat the Nuggets yesterday. So this is max. This is like a pure letdown spot for the Clippers, meaning the Jazz are probably going to be able to hang in there for a little bit. And then maybe you do get some okay lines out of Hendricks and Sensabaugh, and maybe that's the thing that pushes them up above the watch list to go ahead and injury replace them. We'll see. A couple other injury replacement watch list guys. Julian Champagny in San Antonio, because Keldon Johnson is still out, and Devin Vassell is out for the year, and Jeremy Sohan's out for the year, and Malachi Branham is the other one. So there's just going to be a lot of shots behind Trey Jones and Wemby. And Chidi Osmond's out as well. And you figure that Champagny will get, 8 to 10 of them. Branham is probably going to take a dozen or more. I really don't like Malachi Branham's 9-cat game because it's all points and inefficiently so. But he would make sense in a points league realm, or if you're basically like stat hunting the points, the scoring category. For Champagny, he's a little bit more, actually, a lot like Shemezi Metu in terms of, like, what do they do when they're on the basketball court? And it's, maybe they get to double-digit points. Maybe they get to around 5 or 6 rebounds, probably a couple of assists just from being out there for a half an hour. Champagne's going to get you a steal when he's out there, just like Metu is. Maybe they luck into a block because they're kind of long dudes. Probably not going to obliterate your percentages. Metu's maybe a little bit better, give or take. Better in one, worse in the other. Those guys are useful. They're just kind of more useful in the dog days than they are right now. Because at the end of the season, and we've talked about this before, even earlier on today's show, you're more looking for someone, even if their rank is worse. Like, over, if you, over the next 2 weeks, this weekend and next week, Champagne's probably going to be ranked higher than Jabari Walker in 9 category leagues. Probably. I don't know for sure, but probably. But Jabari Walker might be a more useful fantasy player for your team just because you could be like, all right, I need points. I need rebounds. I don't care if the guy I'm playing gets me 0 defensive stats and 1 assist instead of a steal, a block, and 2.5 assists. Those are a reason, are a collection of reasons why player B, in this case Champagne, might be ranked higher over the next week and a half or these last 2 weeks. But for my team, which is basically now you're just toggling punt categories on the various rank boards a lot. Turn things on and off. Turn categories on and off and see how these players move around. If you're punting both defensive categories, that probably flips now. Then Jabari Walker's probably a higher-ranked player than Julianne Champagne. This is just one example of many happening right now where, you know, we've talked about some of the other players already. All these guys that sit between, honestly, normally it's between like 100 and 150 or between 110 and 160. Right now, you can probably extend it even a little bit on both sides at this time of year. So basically, anybody ranked between like 85 and 175, I don't want to say they're the same because they're not. The 85 ranked guy is a better fantasy player, but the guy ranked down near 160 might just make more sense for what you're attacking in head-to-head. If you need to win the week and you need rebounds more than anything else and you've got a big lead in, you know, 4 other categories, or Roto, where it's actually even more, I think, different, this dichotomy, regular season versus the middle of the season versus the end of it. In Roto, you might have like a 300-point gap between you and the guy behind you. So, yeah, you can play a guy that doesn't score for a week, and that other team probably isn't going to catch up to you. You can really go category hunting in Roto right now, and you can kind of semi-go category hunting in head-to-head, although, again, you know, today's Friday, so certainly more so than like a Tuesday, but Sunday in head-to-head is the day where you can really hammer a category. Earlier in the week, you generally want to attack a bunch of stuff at the same time. Middle of the week, you probably can kind of laser into like 2 or 3 categories, and then on Sunday, you can kind of category hunt one thing, and it changes and resets every week. But again, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and head-to-head is going to be a lot like Roto right now, where you're looking for 1 or 2 main categories. Earlier in the week in head-to-head, you're probably not going to play the lower-ranked guy. You're probably going to play the higher-ranked guy because they'll give you a little bit in more stuff. Anyway, that's sort of a couple of strategic things that are going on right now in terms of how player valuations are just different right now than they are, you know, even like 2 weeks ago. All right, we'll go ahead and save that board, and then we'll go ahead and turn it off. And now, those watching are stuck once again with just me. And those listening, you've been stuck with me the whole damn time. Coming up on Fantasy NBA Today, what's next? We will have a streaming show later on today. We'll get you set for today, Saturday and Sunday. This is a very uncomplicated couple of days now because we've finally hit the overload part of the schedule. Today and Sunday being extraordinarily busy NBA nights, and then tomorrow, Saturday, being a much quieter one. And we'll try to throw a little bit of info in that streaming show for folks that do roll into next week in head-to-head, which is just a terrible idea. But bear in mind, Monday is an off day in the NBA to open up for the NCAA title game. And then Tuesday, I think everybody... No, it's a 14-gamer. So the last week of the season is basically Wednesday through Saturday because Sunday... Everybody plays. That's a 15-gamer. So Monday's off. Tuesday is basically full. And Sunday is fully full. So there's absolutely no reason for you to like hang on to moves at the end. And there's really almost no reason for you to hang on to use moves at the beginning. So you're basically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week are the only days that matter. So that creates a very goofy set of stream situations. Wednesday, by the way, if you're interested on next week, Wednesday's 8 games, Thursday's 5, Friday is like 14 also, I think. Saturday's off, and then Sunday's a big one too. Or is Friday 15 also? Friday might be 15 also. Did I get that wrong? Is anybody not? Oh, crap, it's everybody. I thought it was 14. So, I mean, shave it down a little bit more. I mean, yes, you can't just say like, oh, skip over Friday because whatever decisions you make between Wednesday and Saturday are going to involve Friday. But Saturday's an off day too. So there's really almost no way to stream next week. And all of that to say, we'll spend a little bit of time on it, but not very much. Because next week's streams is like 3 days, basically. You're welcome for the pep talk to Tyler, you in the chat room, who threw a thank you on there. Oh, I forgot to put Omer Yurtseven on the list. Good looking out, Kyung. It's too late for me to add him back to the board, but Omer Yurtseven is a likely injury replacement play in Utah. You could put him on the watch list for one game if you really want to, but Walker Kessler is likely down right now. So Yurtseven probably going to get a start and probably get close to 30 minutes. The question in the chat room is Trey Jameson versus Omer Yurtseven, because with JJJ getting at least one game off, Trey Jameson's probably going to get a start. I prefer Omer. This particular user is looking for field goal percent, free throw percent, and points. I don't know that Yurtseven's going to score very much. He's certainly going to give you a nice field goal percent attack. I probably go Omer just because I feel like the minutes are a little bit more safe and you're sort of guaranteed those big man stats. But if you're not looking for rebounds or blocks, then it's kind of a wash. But between those two, just like general, do I need big man stuff? Omer is the direction that I would lean. All right, friends, that was it. Second to last weekly review show is done for this season. We will be back later on today with a streaming show, and then maybe we'll have a streaming show on Sunday. I don't know if there's going to be time this weekend. There's a lot going on here on the family side. And then Monday, we'll probably do two shows as well, a weekend review, a weekly preview, and then we'll just go one show a day, weekdays until August. We don't take the off-season off, though. If anybody's watching or listening, this is your first year with us. We go all off-season long, Monday through Friday here on Fantasy NBA Today, and I hope you guys will stick with us for that as well. Thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for liking. Thanks for rating and reviewing. I'm Dan Bespris. Have a delightful next couple of hours. We'll talk to you in a few with a streaming show this afternoon. And, yeah, let's just keep rumbling. Stay with it, folks. Stay locked in. We're almost there. Later for now.